welcome to Critical Q&A, which is a new show that I'm going to be doing where I'm going to periodically, I hope regularly, be answering questions that you've asked me in the comments section of my videos. I've gone through and I've culled all the questions that have been asked so far. I figure now I'm coming up on about 2,000 subscribers on my channel, so I owe some of you guys answers to some of the questions you've asked me that are more than just a couple lines that I can type in the comments section. I try to keep up with questions that come in, but I know that some of these questions have been asked and they deserve a more satisfactory answer than that. So here we go. Here's the first question. How do you repair an organization that has caused so much pain and suffering to otherwise good and caring people? I don't know. I think Scientology is past the point of no return. And I don't think Miscavige is going to change. Not while he's sitting on $1 billion. Well, you're right. I don't know how you change an organization that has caused so much pain and suffering either. I mentioned in my open letter to David Miscavige some ideas of things I thought that would cause some immediate positive change in the church. Now, I want to make it clear that I am under no delusion that David Miscavige is going to follow my advice or even watch my video, but I made it as a statement to him and to those in the Church of Scientology to hopefully get them to open their eyes as to some of the injustices and some of the awful things that the church is engaged in, some of the things that they're doing, and the most basic hypocrisy that the church members engage in, which is that they have a creed which says that everybody has freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of choice, and yet they enforce disciplinary actions on their members that prevent anything like freedom of speech, freedom of thought, or freedom of choice. And that's the most basic hypocrisy in the entire church, is that their creed is not followed in any way. So in terms of what it would take to repair that organization, well, like I said in my video, I think that if they were to cancel disconnection as a policy, just get rid of it, just boom, there's no more of that, and let families and friends reconnect and be friends or family with people who are not necessarily enamored with the church, that would be a major, major step. However, at the same time, they would absolutely have to dismantle the Office of Special Affairs and get rid of their own internal justice system, because that justice system does not serve anything like the, well, the premise is that it's supposed to serve the greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics, the greatest good for the greatest number of people across all of life. And in fact, that's not at all what the church's justice system does. What it does is it serves the greatest good for the church, and the individual doesn't stand a chance against that, which ironically is exactly what Hubbard said not to do in his policies. He said we should have a justice system that doesn't do that, and yet he put one together that is run in such a way that the individual is squashed almost every time. So that needs to go. Those things, that whole apparatus needs to disappear. Now, what would you have left if you took those things away? Well, you'd have real freedom of thought and real freedom of speech. I think in order to actually finally reform the church completely so that it actually could potentially do some good, you'd have to pretty much get rid of the upper level materials, the upper level counseling, the OT levels, and the state of clear. That stuff needs to go, because well, like Jason Begay says, you know, show me a fucking OT, right? There is no OT. There is no state of OT that exists. No one has achieved the state of full cause over matter, energy, space, time, life, and form, which is the definition of OT. That doesn't exist. Nobody has that. They just cannot admit to any such thing. And the lesser state of clear, as defined in Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, 1950, doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Hubbard said, laid out very clearly in that book, which still extant as church scriptures, he said very clearly that a clear is somebody who has no psychosomatic illnesses of any kind, period, has full photographic recall of everything that's happened to him in his entire life. And later actually goes over the fact in Dianetics that ideal recall is actually in 3D and with all perceptions, not just sight. Sound, taste, smell, all of those things are supposed to be available to a clear in terms of their recall. Not one person that I've ever met has such a thing, right? Clear is just, you know, he later changed the definition of clear to a being who no longer has his own reactive mind, which is a completely subjective definition that means nothing, because the reactive mind is not something you can see, feel, taste, touch. There's no test for it to tell you whether you have or have not a reactive mind. No such thing exists, pretty much because there's no such thing as a reactive mind. But if there was, there's no scientific testing or procedure to determine if a person has actually achieved that state, much less has those abilities, which is why the church can get away with telling people who are clear, which I was, that you're not clear. And they do this to them over and over again. They've gone through and done this a number of times and bilked people for more and more money to get back to being clear, which they supposedly had never achieved in the first place. And I know people who had that happen to them 3 or even 4 times. You know, you're clear, oh no, you're not, we messed up, and now you're gonna have to pay for it, and we get you some more, you know, auditing, and oh, now you're clear, okay, good, now they go and say they're clear. Oh no, actually, turns out, you know, and they've gone through this procedure over and over again. Why they would put up with that kind of abuse, I don't know, but they do. So all of that needs to go. And that leaves you with the church's lower level services. And I'm talking about like their communications courses. You know, I did a communications course when I was a teenager. It helped me out a lot. I mean, I was a shy, introverted teenager, and I did some of those communications drills that they do, and it helped me out. And I'm not going to say that it didn't. And that has some value. Dianetics counseling. Maybe it has value, maybe it doesn't. I think it's variable. I think some people get something out of it for real, and I think other people convince themselves that they got something out of it when they really didn't. You know, I felt like I relieved some stress as a result of it. So, you know, if you take away the claims, the big, huge, absolute sort of claims and promises, if you just cancel all that, you're left with a, you know, small self-help group. And that's pretty much the only way that the Church of Scientology could honestly get along in the world and stop being such a totalitarian, dictatorial, horrible organization. That because I think that is what it is. And they try to puff themselves up to be something so much bigger. And when people poke holes in their story, they get all jacked, they get all upset, and they come after that person. Because that person's exposing the real truth. If they would just stop lying about everything and just admit who they are and what they can do, which isn't much, but it's something, then maybe they might have a chance of getting along on a long-term basis, you know? So those are the kind of reforms I think are necessary. Do I think any of that's ever going to happen? Absolutely not. No way. I don't think that the church is capable of such self-reflection or long-term thinking, and I don't have any idea or desire even for any of that to happen. I just want it to go away. I want it to be gone, and I want its members to come out of the delusory cloud that they're in, that they're involved in a group that's actually saving the world or saving the universe, because that's not what that group is doing. Great vid. Thanks for making this. Have you ever heard about Stephen Christ and his concave earth cult? No, never heard of that. Roger Yost. Chris, love your work and concept of critical thinking. Could you take a minute and explain COS concept of Xenu, when it is introduced to Scientologists, why the secrecy, and why Tommy David flat out denied it as a spokesperson for the church, I mean cult? Yeah, so Xenu is part of the OT3, level OT3 materials, which are all confidential. All the OT level materials are confidential. So basically what happens is a person goes through and does the Scientology levels of counseling. They're supposed to move through a series of states of being. And those states of being are described first as lower grades, you know, grade one, grade two, grade three. They go through those steps and they're supposed to achieve certain abilities until they finally achieve the state of clear. Now, again, I don't necessarily believe that any of this stuff actually occurs, but that's what the parishioners are doing. That's what they do is they go through the counseling. Everything above the state of clear is confidential. So it's hidden away from the general public and they don't talk about it. The stated reason for that within the church is because the materials above the state of clear are highly dangerous to a person's mental and spiritual well-being and stability. The idea is that things have happened to people in the past that are so traumatic, so awful, so horrible, and are so emotionally charged and spiritually charged up that they would actually damage a person if he was exposed to that material before he was ready for it. And these lower levels or these lower grades are supposed to be the things that get you ready for that. And so the first thing you do when after you go clear is you do, anyway, I'm not going to get into all the whole steps, but there's an OT1 step and then there's an OT2 step. And they're sort of preparatory steps for OT3. And OT3 is where you get told that Earth is part of a galactic confederation of planets, and that out there in the universe, you know, for trillions of years, there's been this big civilization out there. And there's this old galactic overlord named Xenu, who was a really bad guy, and he gathered up all the beings in the universe. And I want to clarify something, because this is commonly missed or misstated in things that I've read, that that there's all these aliens, that he gathered up all these aliens and sent them to Earth. It wasn't aliens. What he's referring to is beings called Thetans in Scientology. Thetans are us. You're a Thetan, I'm a Thetan, we're all Thetans. That's the idea in Scientology, is that your spiritual self is referred to as a word called a Thetan. And the idea is that Xenu somehow collected up all these Thetans and trapped them in ice or something, and put them in spaceships that look like DC-10s and flew them to Earth, which he calls Tegeak, and dumped them here in volcanoes. And, this all happened many, many moons ago. And then all these spiritual beings, these Thetans, not aliens, Thetans, got so messed up through this whole process, right? They got so screwed up that some of them just about died. Now, you can't kill a spiritual being who has no age. So they just, act as these whole degraded beings. And so the theory goes that all these degraded beings have been latched onto beings that are not so degraded, which is you and me. And they actually physically make up our bodies, and they're therefore called body Thetans or BTs. And if you ever read about BTs or body Thetans, that's what he's referring to, is these practically dead spiritual entities or spiritual beings, which is, me and thee, who need to be rehabilitated. They need to be freed up from this awful, horrible spiritual state that they're in. And the only way to do that, of course, is to do this Scientology counseling. And so the belief within Scientology is that that there are thousands and millions of these spiritual entities who are in this awful condition. And by doing the OT3 procedure, the counseling procedure, which you do on yourself, you will free up, you will rehabilitate spiritually these practically dead BTs, body phaetons. And by so doing that, you also free yourself, because these things are latched onto you like a bunch of leeches, a bunch of spiritual leeches, and they're not quite fully dead, and they affect how you, they're supposedly affect how you think and act and feel. Like if you had a bunch of leeches all over you, that would affect how you think and act and feel. Well, these BTs do that, apparently. And so by ridding yourself of them, by doing these OT levels, you're supposed to become a freed up being yourself. Okay, so that's basically in a nutshell how I understand that. So this is highly confidential within the Church of Scientology. Now, it's all over the internet, but within the church, this is the belief is, and what Hubbard said, he discovered all of this and released it all in 1967. And he said, when he talked about this, he said that this information is so powerful and so charged that if you found out about it, if you learned the truth of what I just told you, you would catch pneumonia and you would die. That's what supposedly would happen to you. And people in the church believe that this is true. It was no small thing for me to, when I got out of the church, go and overcome that indoctrination and read about this material and find out what OT3 was all about outside of the church, because I didn't find out about it when I was in the church. I found out about it after I left. When you find out about it in the church, you are sworn to secrecy, like you swear on a stack of Dianetics books, and you are never, ever, ever, ever to reveal this on pain of spiritual death, right? So that's why Tommy Davis, who I don't think even achieved this level himself, so I don't think he even really understands what he's talking about. But that's why when he, as a PR spokesperson, would come out and talk about this stuff, he would deny, or try to redirect and misdirect and go off of that any way he could. Because according to his way of thinking and to the Scientologist's way of thinking, that material will kill you if you know about it. So they try to keep a lid on it to protect everybody. Like, that's actually their idea, is that they're trying to not let people know about this, because if they think if it gets out, you know, people are going to die. So, now what amazes me, of course, is that there are OTs and there are people in the church who've achieved these levels, who know this material, who then see it on the internet and somehow are like, not putting two and two together that this material doesn't kill anybody. I mean, it didn't kill me. It didn't even give me a cold. Didn't even give me a sniffle. Nothing. So no pneumonia here. And I've had it verified by, you know, people who did the OT levels in the church, that what I just told you is what's covered on this stuff. So somehow they're not quite, you know, doesn't bust through the cognitive dissonance that nobody's dying from this, you know, that 50 million people have read this on the internet and nobody's dead. So anyway, that's why they're so insanely hush-hush about it, though, is because they think that, you know, if you find out, you're a goner. Traveler Finder, do you get trolls? I always suspect Scientologists just don't use YouTube, but can't tell for sure. Yes, I do get trolls. I have had people come to my blog, and I've had people come to my YouTube channel who were pretty obviously Scientologists or had a pro-Scientology slant and decided to take me on, or, you know, post some critical comments, or try to, say my video was bullshit or something like that. And I actually, every time I've seen it, because I see all the comments and that happen on my blog or happen on my YouTube channel, I take them on. I straight away, I just go, hey, what's up? You know, and I try to engage them, because I would love to talk to Scientologists who are still in, and I like to try to talk to them honestly and directly about what it is that they have a problem with. If they are calling me out for being a liar, or calling me out for giving quotes out of context, or saying something that isn't true, you know, this video is just a bunch of crap, I say, great, tell me exactly what it is in my video that you protest or that you have a problem with. So far, I haven't gotten anything in terms of any real specifics on anything that I've said or done that was off. Doesn't mean I'm not open to criticism. I'm wide open to it. I'm definitely interested in anything anybody has to say about what I've put out there. But so far, they've been pretty unsuccessful at that. So, yeah, they do look at YouTube, and they do look at my blog. And in fact, the whole reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because I'm counting on the fact that that's what they're going to do, is they're going to come and look. All right, well, maybe I gave overlong answers on a couple of those questions, but I wanted to be complete about it. I have more questions to take up in a second episode here, so I will get along to that. But I want to keep these to about 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. So I'm going to wrap up this first episode of Critical Q&A. Thank you very much for watching. And if you have any questions for me at all, put them in the comments section of this video, because this is where I will be looking for any future questions or comments that you might have for me. And it can be about anything. You know, I've only addressed some Scientology stuff here, but I got a lot of topics I'm interested in. I'm going to be making more stuff about critical thinking and scientific method and topics related to that, as well as Scientology. I know people are very interested in what I have to say about Scientology. I am very interested in talking about that, but I'm also interested in talking about other things too. And by the way, if you have anything specific you'd like for me to talk about, you can put that in the comments as well. So thank you very much for watching, and I'll talk to you again soon.